You know, I'm so grateful to Elaine for sharing with me what you're all meant to be reading. I know some of you are behind with your readings. Yes? How many are honest there? You're a bit behind. But thank you to the people there with the art at work. They brought us up to date, haven't they, with the story of Joseph. And I just want to say this, and I want to say it prophetically. I want to say it to you as individuals. I want to say it to you as a church, and I believe as a nation, we are standing on the edge. We are in a window of opportunity that has not been here before. We are at a Kairos moment when God wants to move into our lives in a new dimension. He wants to break open the box from which we have walked in the past. However good it's been, however bad it's been, he still wants to break us out into a new dimension. Will we see it? And that's the cry of my heart. Lord, please don't let me miss what you're doing. I've got to be there, Lord. I want my life to count for you. I want to make a difference. And this church will make a difference. If you recognize the time that you are in, this is a defining moment. This is an opportunity. Listen, have you not watched the news and seen the window of opportunity that has been for Egypt? Did we think it was going to happen? No, I almost felt it wasn't, but it did happen. Is it through yet? No, it's not. But they are walking into the opportunity. I believe it's a sign of the time. And I believe, you know, that there was an opportunity when Joseph came. He was a child that was chosen. He was gifted. He was anointed. He was loved. And he had that coat of many colors. And what I want to talk about this morning is the presence, the manifest presence of our God. You cannot walk into this moment unless we're walking in the manifest presence of a living God in resurrection power. We can't do it in our own strength. We don't have the ability. But I believe that God wants to anoint us in a new way. And he had Joseph, the child of promise, the child that was going to carry it. And then, because the people didn't understand him, he lost his coat, didn't he? But he didn't lose the presence of God. It says all the way through that, he was with him. God was with him. No matter where he went, when he went into slavery, he was promoted. He had a new coat. How do I know he had a new coat? Because when temptations came, and it wasn't his fault, when he did the right thing, he left his coat behind. And I see this, the mantle that God wants to put on his people at this moment, the mantle he wants to put on his church, is what we've got to hold on to. We've got to really walk in his manifest presence like we've never done before. He left his coat behind. So for the second time, that manifest presence of God appeared to leave him. And down he went into prison. But God didn't leave him. God was with him there, and he was promoted there. But the wonderful thing is, in one day, he was promoted. You read it and see, and I've been so blessed. He had a new robe. He didn't go before the Pharaoh in the garments of prison, in the garments of darkness. He went with a new robe. And then it says that the storehouses of the days of famine were opened. This is what my dream is for me, for you, for the people of God at this moment. That we will be robed with new robes of his manifest presence. So great will be the anointing of his presence on our lives. So great and real will be our God that is with us. That our robes will be seen. And you know, those storehouses are going to be opened. Doesn't the world need the storehouses? I really believe that. But we have to get to the place where we're walking in his manifest presence. Now, some of you have no idea who I am or where I've come from. That doesn't matter. You might have heard that a different speaker would be here today. But today, you are meeting me. I'm here. In my manifest presence before you. Amen? And you're not going to forget it either, I can tell you, in Jesus' name. Amen. But that just like it happened with Joseph, sometimes things happen that cause us to lose his manifest presence. We don't lose the presence of God. But we need a much greater manifest presence of himself. And you know the one that does it. And I want to just read. Because you see, my heart, and I've just finished my second book, actually. Lovely. I'm looking forward to reading Christian's book. That sounds really great. I'm sure that you. Hallelujah. In John chapter 14, Jesus said this. The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and will show and reveal and manifest myself to him. And this is what it means. I'm reading from the Amplified in John chapter 14 verse 21. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. That's what's going to happen when you will go and do what you see the Father doing. Then we just work with him. That's all it is. None of us in ourselves can do anything. We have no ability. But when we have the risen Lord inside us, then there is a new dimension that God wants to lift us into. And I've discovered that we can actually lose that manifest presence of God. Just the same as Joseph lost his coats. For one reason or another, things happen. Is that right? But who is it that manifests Jesus to us? He's the Holy Spirit. You see, how many of you have sensed the presence of God here today? As we were worshipping, yes? Wonderful, isn't it? But I want to tell you, Jesus is not here. No matter how much you have felt him here, he is not here. He is risen from the dead. He is seated at the right-hand side of the Father. You read the scriptures. That's where he is. So who is it when you sense Jesus close to you? It is the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit showing us Jesus. He's the Spirit of Jesus. And you know, that's what the world needs. They need Jesus, don't they? They don't need me. They don't need you. They need Jesus. And they need the power of the risen Christ to be operating through us. And so, I'm going to read a scripture and I'm going to ask you to come with me. Because you may not have read this scripture in the same way. You see, every time the work of the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus, something will happen. Something amazing will happen. And so I'm taking a scripture from Luke chapter 2. And many of you will be very familiar with it. And I'm starting in verse 41. Will you do that with me? Will you come with me and say, Holy Spirit, show me something that I can take into my spirit so that I can walk in the manifest presence of God? Can you do that? You're willing to. Remember always, it's the Holy Spirit that makes Jesus known. So here we are, verse 41. Now his parents, and this is, who are his parents? Jesus' parents? Joseph and Mary. Godly people, would you agree with me? Chosen? Loved? I mean, nobody else had a womb impregnated by the Holy Spirit to bear the Son of God. I mean, she was amazing. And fancy Joseph asked to be that father steward to help bring up the Son of God. I mean, what an honor. What an amazing honor. I love to read the word and get in it and understand it. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year to the Passover feast. Now, you could say this. Every Sunday, the people of River Church come here to Desborough School because they're expecting to be fed, to worship, to have fellowship. This is your congregation. This is your body expressed here. Is that right? And it's a good thing to do. I'm pleased that you're here. It wouldn't be any point any of us if nobody was here. But you came. And I just want you to imagine Mary and Joseph were going to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is always the place of the presence of God. That's what it represents. And it says here, when he was 12 years old, they went up as was their custom. So they were doing the right thing. They were doing the honorable thing. They were focused on God. But it wasn't just an ordinary time. It was a very special moment because here was the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. He'd come to 12 years old. It was his bar mitzvah time. His time when he would take responsibility for his walk. And so his father would come, and before thousands of people in Jerusalem, he would take off his jacket and he would put it on his young son and say, I brought up my son in the ways of God. And now I'm releasing him to be responsible and to move into a new dimension. You see, this is what God is doing for us today. He is putting on a new mantle on his people today. And if we realize it, we'll be ready to receive it. If we don't realize it, we won't receive it. Not because God isn't giving it, but because we are ignorant of what is really on. So this is what happens. And he's clothed with his father's coat. Now, some of you have been to conferences, I'm sure. How many of you know it can be exhausting? They were there for a whole week. They had journeyed there. They'd gone on caravans, not the express trains or aeroplane or whatever it was. They had to go by foot. They had traveled a long way. And they had one focus. That was to get to Jerusalem. And they were there, and they'd done what they went for. But something changed. The focus changed. Listen to the word. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem. Now his parents did not know this. Can I borrow your husband? Can I borrow you a minute? Okay. Right. Now then, okay. Now, you're the Holy Spirit, okay? And I'm the follower, okay? Now, if you go over there, right, and I stay here, okay, thanks. Do you see that I'm out of the manifest presence? So if the Holy Spirit moves and I stay with you, then we are together. Because the manifest presence of God is the Holy Spirit that makes Jesus real, okay? So, if I decide to go off on my little run, and I leave you there, can you see? I've walked out of the manifest presence of God. Not because I don't believe, but because I've gone my own agenda. Thank you so much. Do you understand? We have to keep our focus and keep in step with the Holy Spirit. But I don't know why. They changed their focus. Maybe they were tired. Maybe they were exhausted. Maybe they just wanted to get home. And some people are like this at the end of a service. They're looking there. Oh, it's dinner time. What's in the oven? You know? Whatever it is, they changed their focus. From they thought what had happened was finished. But God hadn't finished. He was moving on, and Jesus stayed in Jerusalem. And remember, everywhere that Jesus is made real by the Holy Spirit. So they go off home. And what does he say? Jesus didn't tell them. He was staying behind. And you know, have you found out that the Holy Spirit doesn't always tell us why things happen? He doesn't, does he? We want to know, but he doesn't always tell us. Very seldom. And it says, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem. Now his parents did not know this. But supposing him to be in the caravan, they travelled on a day's journey, and then they sought him diligently, looking up and down for him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. I bet they looked for diligently. I mean, I try, as I say, to ask the Holy Spirit to make a passage real to me before I could share it with anybody. And I said, Lord, how can I understand this? Really get into this? And he reminded me many, 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 many years ago when I was actually pregnant with our second child. And I'm in a relationship, in a marriage where I am unhappy, I'm desperate, I'm looking for suicide, I'm looking to murder, I'm looking for a way out from the hell that I'm living. And my focus is not upon my child. We're walking down the Gower coast of Wales, where there's big waves on a windy August day. And it's about 2 miles long with the big cliffs at the side. I am looking at myself. I am feeling so sorry for myself. So I lose the focus on my little child of 18 months, and I'm heavily pregnant. And in the minute, she's gone. And suddenly, I'm running up and down, and I'm shouting out, Meryl, Meryl, where are you? Mummy's looking for you. And you know, I saw hundreds and hundreds of children, but not one child satisfied the longing that was inside me, because it had to be my daughter. It had to be. And I was panic-stricken. And so I began to understand how Mary and Joseph felt. They'd lost the Son of God. I mean, you know, not just any old child, but the Son of God. I only lost my daughter for half an hour. But I was broken inside. And then suddenly, out from the cliffs behind, waddled this little girl with her bucket and her spade. Mummy, Mummy. And I rushed to her and I picked her up and I said, oh, why have you done this to Mummy? Why have you hidden away? You see, anger welled up inside me. Now, I'm not a Christian or anything like that, but I'm showing you that when the presence of God appears to have been lifted because we lose our focus, that's when the things in us will come to the surface. When the darkness hits, when the tragedy hits, when the circumstance that you're not expecting becomes a storm, it's not the things that come upon you, it's the things that come out of you. Does praise still come out of you? Does love still come out of you? For me, I was full of anger. And here is this godly, godly couple. I mean, they lost him for 3 days and 3 nights. And you know, the nights are terrible, aren't they? When you're in pain, when you have a situation that you can't see a sign, the nights are so long, aren't they? That's when your mind plays tricks on you. And I began to understand how Mary and Joseph felt. And it says to us that they looked where they thought he would be. And you know, when we lose that cutting edge of the mystery of his presence, his manifest presence, do you know what you will do? Well, if you're anything like me, you'll go to the passage in scripture that spoke to you last time you were in the situation. You know, you go to the familiar, or you ring up the prayer warrior that last time prayed for you over the phone and the darkness lifted. You'll go to your pastor, and these are all good things. They're not bad things. But I tell you, we look for Jesus in the familiar, in where we expect him to be. But I'm telling you now, God's coming out the box. He's coming onto the streets. He is moving in the places where you haven't expected it before. And we have to change. Mary and Joseph turned around and they went back. And that's a picture of what we have to do. We need to acknowledge we got it wrong. You see, Mary and Joseph were godly people, chosen, but they got it wrong. They left him behind. The presence of God had not gone with them. They'd gone because they had a focus of going home. But God hadn't finished in Jerusalem. And we have to be very, very careful that we go with the Holy Spirit. Because he's the power. He's the anointed one. It's his anointing that breaks the yoke. Not ours. His anointing. And do you know when they went back? Listen to it. And when they failed to find him, they went back to Jerusalem looking for him up and down all the way. And after 3 days, they found him and they came upon him in the court of the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Jesus had never been where they found him before. Because only when a young boy had had his bar mitzvah could he go into the place where they were teaching. He wasn't allowed to go before. But this time, he was there. And I believe that as Mary and Joseph came back and they looked for him, they found him somewhere that they had never seen him there before. And he was powerfully asking questions, powerfully at work. And you know, that is something, a fear of God comes on me when I think to myself, what if I do something and Lord, you're not there? Because I put you into a little box that feels comfortable and I can connect with you there. And I really believe that God is saying, let me out the box! Let me out the box! Let me out the box! Break open your mindsets. Break open your experience in God and let him give you the new that he has. Because it's the new that's going to make the difference in your lives and in the lives of the community. And then I saw that when they found him, it says, all who heard him were astonished and overwhelmed with bewildered wonder at his intelligence and understanding and his replies. And when they, Joseph and Mary, saw him, they were amazed. I want to stand amazed. I stand in awe at the way that God works. Don't you? I don't want him to be in a box that I can work him out. I want to stand amazed at his power that can take a woman broken like I was, dying like I was, and fill me with his resurrection power. Oh, I tell you, there is no limit. The limitations are on us, not on God. But then I saw, and when Joseph and Mary saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, child, why have you treated us like this? Can you hear the same response that I had when I lost my little daughter? And I thought, Holy Spirit, why? This godly woman, why did she have this response? You know, every time we say, why? I believe we can say, why? Lord, just explain to me, teach me, show me what I need to know. That's different. But when we say, why have you done this? You know, there's a different why. There's a why of rebellion. That is not right. And we need to be careful that we're not like that. And I saw this in her. Why? Why have you done this, child? And then I went in the Word. The answers are always in the Word. Do you know the word child? What it means? It's like a babe in arms with a dummy stuck in its mouth. Oh, my little baby boy. My little beautiful boy. There. Mommy's going to hold you. Mommy's going to cradle you. Mommy's going to look after you. That's what she was thinking. That Jesus, the Son of God, who'd just been publicly released into his ministry, she had a boxed-in version of Jesus. He was her little baby boy. And you know, when you first get saved, how you fall in love with your Savior? I pray you did. I pray that you never forget what it was to fall in love with your Savior and the joy of being cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. But you know, he's more than that. He'll never be less than Saviour, but he'll be more as King, as Lord, as Lover, as Friend, as a mighty God who knows your thoughts, who counts every hair in your head, who knows how many times your heart beats. He knows your feelings. He knows it all. He's got to be more. She couldn't get beyond her experience. And I see that that's dangerous. I see that God doesn't want us to limit him to what we can understand. Every time I hear of what God is doing, I marvel. Because I don't, like you said, I don't understand the healing. I don't understand the way he works. But I marvel that he does. I really do. So I saw that this woman of God that carried the Son of God had the ability to box him in. And I believe every one of us can as well. Do you know too, why do you think they were able to turn around from where they were? They'd gone 3 days and three nights. Why do you think they turned around to come back to Jerusalem? There's only one reason that I can see. They loved the Lord Jesus. And there's only one reason that you'll want to come out of the box that you have or your experience is because you love him and you're prepared to turn around. You're prepared to repent and say, God, I have limited you. And because you love him, I am so affected by Africans because, you know, so often people say, oh, you've got to repent. And there's almost like a pointing of the finger. Repent of that lifestyle. Repent of that thought. Repent of that attitude. No, repentance is not like that. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. When you know his love for you, when you haven't deserved it at all, you're prepared to turn around. You're prepared to say, Lord, I missed it. I got it wrong. I've limited you. And that's what Mary and Joseph had to do. But even when they had turned it round, why did she have that reaction? And I believe it was because she had forgotten who she was carrying. And I believe that each one of us carry the risen Christ. And if you think of yourself as just carrying a tiny bit of God, listen, you're wrong. You're carrying the mighty God who holds everything together by his word of power. Isn't it? That's what the word tells us, you know? I heard what you said, that we should be filled with the fullness of God. That's what the word says. We've got to get beyond our little thinking. And then what happened? She went on and she said, why have you treated us like this? And one of the versions says, why have you hurt us so much? Why have you tormented us? As if it was his fault. No. We're the ones that get it wrong. He is right all the time. And then she says, here, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you and distressed and tormented. And I thought to myself, what is it really saying? Was Joseph his father? No, 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 no. He was just a steward looking after the Son of God. She had forgotten. Mary had forgotten the call on their life. And you know, every time we lose sight of the call on our lives, and whatever your passion is, whatever your focus is, don't let it be diverted onto something else. Keep your focus. Remember the call. And you know, I've just come back from America during a conference there, and when I was just saved about 2 or 3 weeks, and Skippy wasn't a Christian, God spoke 3 things to me. One, he said, Skippy will be saved. Now, that seemed like impossibility. Total impossibility. No, you're right. Absolutely. But it happened. And then again, he said at the same time, you will both go to Bible college. Now, that seemed impossible. Doubly, doubly, doubly impossible. But it happened. But the third thing he said to me was that I would preach in the United States. And I've waited 32 years for that fulfillment. And I stepped into it just in January. So what I'm telling you is that if you want to fulfill your calling, you have to be in the manifest presence of God. That's when the storehouses will open. That's when the famine will not affect you. And I am tired of hearing Christians saying, oh, you know, the financial crisis, my job's in jeopardy and all the rest of it. No, we are kingdom people. We are in the world and not of the world. We are those that are blessed and favored with everything we need for life and godliness. There is no shortage in the kingdom. And I've just decided to unbox my Jesus and let him open the storehouses of heaven over me so that I can give. And yes, we do have an orphanage of 547 children. And yes, it does stretch us. But God has never let us down. Never, never, never. And he never will. And the more that we can walk into the manifest presence of God, the more those storehouses are going to be open for those that are hungry, for those that are in need, for whatever it is. Oh, couldn't Jesus have just, couldn't he have said, Mum, you got it all wrong. Dad. He could have rebuked them, couldn't he? He had every right to. But did. Listen what he said. And he said to them, how is it? I can just hear his heart. How is it that you had to look for me? Didn't you know? Did you not see that it's necessary for me to be in my Father's house and about my Father's business? Oh, beloved, if I could draw you to the place when you are desperate for more of God, desperate for his living presence manifesting through you, his life, where you can just look at somebody and say, silver and gold I haven't got, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. You know, let's look with the love of God. Jesus said, don't you understand? Why do you have to look for me? And my beloved people here, why do you feel that you have to seek him? Just stay still for a moment and let him find us. And the intimacy that you long for, the answers you long for, they'll be yours. They may not happen all in the same moment or in the way that you would like to timetable them or happen. But if you've got him, and that's what I want to say to you too, you've got him and he's got you. And I tell you, this is going to be the most amazing time. It's going to be a release of your ministry. It doesn't seem like it at the moment, Stacey, but it's going to be. I want to tell you one more thing. A friend of mine, a young pastor, she married a lovely man of God, and they knew they couldn't have any children because he had been injured when he was playing rugby. But you know, she longed for a child. And God gave them a beautiful adopted little boy. But always she longed for another child. And they moved to the mainland of Spain. And one day she rang me up and she said, pray, Jill, pray. She said, the people that gave us the young boy, Noel, his name is, in Honduras, they've rung us up to say they've got a young mum, she's pregnant, and she's willing to let the child go for adoption. We believe that this baby should be for you. And she said, we don't have any money, And we feel that the three of us should go because it's family taking on a child. She said, just pray. And she rang me up 3 days later and she said, all the money has been provided. We're off on Friday. And I was rejoicing with her. But then I didn't hear for a while. And I thought, I felt in my spirit something was wrong. And I rang her up. And this broken, broken woman. You see, when they got there, the young girl had a beautiful baby girl. They called her Judith. It was all they ever dreamt of. They were there when she was born. They took her. The mum was happy. Everybody was happy. For one whole month in Honduras, they loved this little baby girl, part of their family. And then the government changed. And they couldn't bring that little baby girl out of Honduras. They tried every which way. But they wouldn't let any child be taken out. They had to leave that little girl, put her in an orphanage where she'd have no mum and dad, no family, very little support, and they came back to be ministers. What do you do? My heart broke with her. I flew over. And we spent 3 days and three nights together. And I said, Lord, I don't want to say platitudes. I don't want to say things that are just easy to say. I want a word from you. And on the last morning I was with her. Because all we did was worship and weep together. She was broken. I looked out of the window. And this morning I looked out of the window there. And I could see, yes, the trees out there, they're almost bare. But as I looked that day, I saw one little bud on the branch. And suddenly I knew what God was saying. I said, new life is coming out of this death. And I want to say to you, no matter what happens, new life is coming forth. And I said, this is going to be a new ministry for you. Do you know they minister right across the mainland of Europe? And where does she get her ministry from? From the darkness, from the heartache, from the pain. But I tell you, she's carrying an enormous anointing. I tell you, your salvation is free. Totally and completely free. There's nothing we've done to earn it or deserve it. But the anointing to fulfill your purpose, every one of us on the earth, costs everything. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. It costs everything. But you know, with Mary and Joseph, they didn't understand. But what she did do, she went back, says this, but they did not comprehend what he was saying. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was habitually obedient to them. And his mother kept and closely and persistently guarded all these things in her heart. You may not see the answer now. But will you be like Mary? One time, all those years before, the Holy Spirit had hovered over her and had brought life to a womb that had no life. And the Son of God rose up. Will you put into your heart the seed, the longing, the dream that you have that yet has not come to be? And will you let the Holy Spirit breathe on it so that it can spring to life? The life is in the branch. He is the branch. Jesus Christ is the branch. He's the branch of life. And there is life in him. All we have to do is put them in our heart like Mary did. Kept it in the heart. And we know what happened after that, don't we?